Start with a little prayer. Please join me. Dear Lord, I ask that your Spirit is drawn near tonight in my speaking, that I ask for the strength of your gospel and your good news to maybe come forth a little bit in the words that I speak and the scripture that I read. Amen. All right. A couple of scriptures here. First one is Matthew 18, 20, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And in Ephesians 2, verse 17, so he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So you have to bear with me a little bit. Scott asked me yesterday to do Vespers tonight, and I'm kind of a digester, so I might be digesting while I'm up here speaking tonight. Lately we've been talking, or we had a conversation last week about worship. Scott had a little forum, and we talked about worship, and so I've been digesting that lately and thinking about that. This village is an interesting place. We have people, different people every night here in worship and in this community. People coming and people going, part of this process of welcoming and saying goodbye. I am amazed at the thing that we do together is worship, and we work alongside each other and study and do a lot of things, but we worship in a lot of ways. with our us that are on staff also sign a covenant that that's one of the things that we do. So that helps a little bit with everybody. But I like to think that it is renewing in our spirits and our human lives as well, the worship that we have together. So what is worship? It's a good question. Once in a while I get letters from people outside of the village that are all kinds of different random things, and I'd like to share a little reading from one of them tonight. And it's meant in a, don't take it too seriously. I mean, it was written seriously, but don't take it that way. I'm taking it pretty lightly. But it's kind of funny. It's a Lutheran publication that wrote an article about Holden Village many years ago, and they regurgitated this article, and they put it back up this summer, and I wasn't aware of it, but one of our friends sent it to us. And so it's a little bit about worship. The title is Campfire Liturgies. Call them campfire liturgies, those egregious excursions to liturgical never-never land, where otherwise perfectly normal adults stand in a circle holding hands while singing, "If you're happy and you know it, pass the peace." Or something like that. We can't count all the times we've been made to endure bucolic frolics through the fields of liturgical revelance. Yuck. And just when we thought things couldn't get any worse, someone handed us a copy of the Language Guidelines for Worship at Holden Village. Holden Village, you may know, is a consistent purveyor of the avant-garde ooze passed off as worship. And it goes down and worse from there. So it's good. I think we're honored to be doing that. So what is worship? Obviously, the worship styles have changed, and lots of different things have been worship at Holden Village, and someone here found that out. But I guess as I've been thinking about it, I've been also thinking about gathering. As we're looking at the 50th anniversary, and we're having a couple gatherings this fall, one in Minneapolis, or at St. Paul at the Luther Seminary, and one in Everett. And the word gathering has been kind of, Steph and I have been talking about it a little bit, and it's just been just going around. We gather every night here for worship. When we think of gathering, what did occur to me, we talked about a little bit, the Marty Haugen song, As the Grains of Wheat, is from the it's the Didache, which is the some early writings, first century writings of the apostles, and the part of the early Christian church, and how it is by Marty Haugen interpreted or translated is as the grains of wheat once scattered on the hill were gathered into one to become our bread. And so as all the people throughout the from all the ends of earth are gathered into one in you. So thank you. I knew that everybody else knew this, so I didn't write it down. So the gathering really is a characteristic part of this place. It is, just kind of taking from that, all of us coming from different areas, and Holden Village is many people coming here wounded, many people coming here broken, maybe many people not so much. But as we gather together in this space, in our worship, we're with one another, and we make peace with one another, make peace with ourselves. And I think I like this passage as it is related to and meant for the Eucharist, for the early church, that we are united then in Christ in the Eucharist. And we are then united in the body of Christ and restored, if not physically, we are restored spiritually. And we are sent back out again from there, knowing that we're going to need to come back and in worship and come into one again. In a broader sense, thinking about this, this sense of gathering, our world, it doesn't take very long to see challenges of the lack of gathering, the lack of letting go, the lack of humbling ourselves with one another and being restored by God. You could go on and on, newspapers and things that, in the news, things going on. One thing, I'm kind of like the Civil War history and that type of thing. And in our own country, we've got a lot of hard examples right now of infighting and not really being able to just come to a place of gathering where we can make peace with each other. But in the 1800s, in the Civil War, where our country was really, really at each other's throats in a lot of ways, the thing that I've always felt very impressed with Lincoln was the ability to really stress the union and the unity of this country, and seeking out that that objective throughout, even with the horrible things that were happening at that time. And then in the second inaugural speech, talking about with malice towards none and charity for all, that even though are broken and hurt from the other, not holding that malice in our hearts, but releasing that. Also had a chance to go to listen to Desmond Tutu in Tacoma this last spring. And that story, the story of South Africa and the end of apartheid and the struggles that they went through, are just amazing, I think hopeful stories in our world. In this book, The Vision of Hope for Our Time, it's very much a Christian perspective of what was happening in his life in South Africa. And he writes, "I saw the power of this gospel when I was serving as chairperson of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. This was the commission that the post-apartheid government, headed by our president Nelson Mandela, had established to move us beyond the cycles of retribution and violence that had plagued so many other countries during their transitions from oppression to democracy. The commission gave perpetrators of political crimes the opportunity to appeal for amnesty by telling the truth of their actions, and an opportunity to ask for forgiveness, an opportunity that some took and others did not. The commission also gave victims of political crimes an opportunity to unburden themselves from the pain and suffering they had experienced. As we listen to accounts of truly monstrous deeds of torture and cruelty, it would have been easy to dismiss the perpetrators as monsters because of their deeds were truly monstrous. But we are reminded that God's love is not cut off from anyone, however diabolic the act. It does not turn the perpetrator into a demon. When we proclaim that someone is subhuman, we not only remove for them the possibility of change and repentance, we also remove from them moral responsibility. And in this way, really identifying the fact that we're all children of God, no matter who we are, we're all in God's eyes equally as valued and equally as hurt in many ways and restored. He continues on, the first law of our being is that we are set in a delicate network of interdependence with our fellow human beings and with the rest of God's creation. In Africa, recognition of our interdependence is called Ubuntu in the Nguni languages, or Botho in the Sotho, in Sotho language, which is difficult to translate into English. It is the essence of being human. It speaks of the fact that my humanity is caught up and inextricably bound up in yours. I am human because I belong. It speaks about wholeness. It speaks about compassion. A person with Ubuntu is welcoming, hospitable, warm, and generous, willing to share. Such people are open and available to others, willing to be vulnerable, affirming of others, do not feel threatened that others are able and good, for they have a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that they belong in a greater whole. They know that they are diminished when others are humiliated, diminished when others are oppressed, diminished when others are treated as if they were less than who they are. The quality of Ubuntu gives people resilience, enabling them to survive and emerge still human despite all efforts to dehumanize them. That's a great word. I think the concept that Ubuntu captures, kind of the transformative part of our worship of what we're here and what happens in our hearts, as we come together, sometimes broken and we're honest, we see each other as children of God, and we come together as one at the table of bread and wine and become one in the body of Christ for this world. Amen. Thank you.
But Right. Drop it for a second. Okay. And then to your left, just watch. I'm just going to do a step together. Step. Just watch. Step. Just try this. Everybody knows how to do this, right? Sophie knows you guys can do it.
Yeah.
Again. Okay, I just want to make sure you can do that. So now get your hands back.
Okay.
And remember, when we're all one body in Christ, you know, some people are better at following body directions, some people are better at singing, and we all have our place, right? So be forgiving and helpful. Okay, so watch it first. You can sing, but don't move. One voice, one body, little step and little step. Do, 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 little step and little step. Get it? So we're going to go to your left. Ready? Go.
Give one voice, one melody, one in the
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.